Ukrainian well-wishing song by a Kyiv ensemble called Pravitsya, which means right hand. And that song was one of those generic titles called Shchedrivka, which means well-wishing song. Christos rozhdayetsya veselakh svyat i shchaslivoho novoho roku. Dobry den i vitayu vas vsikh, shenovni radiosluchachi na radioperedachu Nash Holos Radio Krinskoho Korinya po mereji PCJ Radio, yaka podyetsya vam z britanskoy Kolumbii v Kanadi. Z vami Pavlina Makwari dyakuyu shcho reshili perebuti zimnoyu nastupnu godinu. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McCory, Pokrinske Pavlina, and I'd like to wish you season's greetings, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, wherever you are, whatever part of the world, whatever calendar you're celebrating on, it's either Christmas or New Year's or both. So a very warm welcome to you and season's greetings. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a look at a very interesting figure in Ukrainian Jewish history. As well, we've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today. We've got the latest stories and developments, as well as a look back on 2015. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music, and it will be mostly New Year's carols today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Coming up next is a group from Saskatchewan in the middle of Canada. And this group is called Tutti Tam, which means here and there. And here they are with a song called Medove Pevo, which means honey beer.
Ой, нема, та й поїхав до млина. Щедрий вечір, добрий вечір, та й поїхав до млина. Ukraine Today wishes you a happy holiday time. We are proud of providing you content from Ukraine and beyond. If you want us to develop content further, please donate at support.uatoday.tv. Together, we'll make Ukraine the voice of new Europe.
Ой, ходять пави та й породі, пір'яшко ронять на Божі роди. Ой, ходять пави та й породі, пір'яшко ронять на Божі роди. Ой, ой, дай Боже, ой, ой, дай Боже. Діва Марія серед світлиці, як біла рожа, роже волиця. Ой, ой, дай Боже, ой, ой, дай Боже.
Ой, дай Боже, ой, дай Боже.
Прилетіли ангели з раю, пір'я павине пильного збирають. Ой, ой, дай Боже, ой, ой, дай Боже,
ой, дай Боже.
Груди великі, віно гляненькі, а для Ісуса віно маленькі. Ой, ой, дай Боже, ой, ой, дай Боже. Ой, ходять пави та й породі, пір'яшко ронять на Божі роди.
And another traditional New Year's carol by Ukrainian group Picardiska Tertsia, and that was called Oy Khodyat Pave, which means the peacock struts, and that's a symbol that goes back to pre-Christian times. Coming up next is another Ukrainian ensemble. They are called Jidala, and this is a Ukrainian Christmas carol, and this is one that is standard fare for carolers. This is one that you just don't leave off the repertoire. It's called Dobri Vechir Tobi, Good Evening to You.
Dobri Vechir Tobi, Pane Gospodaru, Raduйся! Ой, радуйся, земле, Син Божий народився.
Застеляйте столи
та все килимами, радуйся. Ой, радуйся, земле, Син Божий народився. Бо прийдуть до тебе три праздники в гості, радуйся. Ой, радуйся, земле, Син Божий народився. А що
перший праздник, то Різдво Христове, а що другий праздник святого Василя, а що третій праздник, святе Ворохреща, радуйся, ой, радуйся, земле, Син Божий народився.
Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день! This is Renata Ganenets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center of Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. If you believe that you can damage, then believe that you can fix. Those are the words of Rabbi Nachman, founder of the Breslau Hasidic movement. In his short life, Rabbi Nachman achieved much acclaim as a teacher and spiritual leader, and is considered a seminal figure in the history of Hasidism. He was born in 1772 in the village Mezhibizh, Ukraine. His great-grandfather was Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidic Judaism. As a young boy, Nachman was extremely pious, spending much of his time praying and meditating in the nearby forest and diligently studying Kabbalah. In accordance with the custom of his time, he was married at the age of 13, soon after his bar mitzvah. His wife was Sasha, daughter of a rabbi from a nearby village. They had 8 children, of whom 4 daughters survived, with known descendants to today. Rabbi Nachman gained an ardent following, including one of the senior leaders of the Hasidic movement. He openly addressed issues such as addiction and compulsive behaviors and was a strong proponent of experiencing joy in the earthly realm through spirituality. Another of Rabbi Nachman's well-known sayings is, "It is a great mitzvah to be happy." His emphasis on personal development rather than external display of piety may explain the attraction of Breslau Hasidism to notable individuals such as Franz Kafka, Elie Wiesel, and many other artists, musicians, scientists, lawyers, athletes, and scholars. However, Rabbi Nachman's success was not without conflict. Many other Hasidic leaders opposed his teaching and resented his success. Eventually, Nachman moved to Breslau to escape the bitter struggle. There his movement gained momentum and became known as Breslau Hasidism. In October of 1810, at the age of 38, Rabbi Nachman died in Uman. Suffering from tuberculosis, which had claimed the life of Sasha several years earlier, his wish was to be buried in Uman, where some 20,000 Jews perished in the Haidamak Rebellion of 1768. Rabbi Nachman's closest disciple, Reb Nosson, ensured Rabbi Nachman's writings were printed. He also initiated an annual pilgrimage to Uman to the rabbi's gravesite. Until 1917, this pilgrimage drew thousands of Hasidim to Uman from all over Ukraine, Belarus, Lithuania, and even Poland. After the Bolshevik Revolution, communist authorities regularly raided the gathering and arrested and imprisoned worshippers. The oppression ended with the fall of communism in 1989. Today, more than 20,000 Jews from all over the world participate in this annual pilgrimage called the Rosh Hashanah Kibbutz to be the grave of Rabbi Nachman of Breslau. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Patrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. In a group called Nove More, which means New Sea. And that was a song called Nove Rik Ide, The New Year Arrives. Coming up next is a song called Shchedrik. This is, the melody is what the Christmas carol, the Carol of the Bells, is based on. And this is the original lyrics in Ukrainian performed by soldiers from the front. Very talented musicians. And this just illustrates that soldiers are not just bodies out there in cannon fodder. They are very talented individuals, and many of them professional musicians, among the other professions out there. Here they are now with a rock version of Shchedrik. Now, the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Combined Russian separatist forces on December 25th shelled the village Vodanya in Donetsk region. The area is situated in the gray zone near the strategic port city of Mariupol. Kremlin-backed militants also shelled the village of Zaychinka using 120-millimeter mortars, which are forbidden under the truce agreement. OSCE observers were in nearby Kominternove from 1025 to 1300 hours on Christmas Eve. During their stay, they did not spot any armed people or weapons. They did not witness any ceasefire violations in the town. A different team of OSCE observers was unable to get within 2 kilometers west of the village because of landmines planted on the road.
Observers from Europe's OSCE watchdog have come under fire in eastern Ukraine. The incident happened near Komentonovo, a buffer zone village seized by combined Russian separatist forces last Tuesday. No members of the special monitoring mission were injured. After the attack, the team returned to their base in Donetsk. Ukraine's army previously accused militants of planning attacks to discredit government forces. Meanwhile, one Ukrainian soldier was killed and 3 wounded in the combat zone over the past day, a presidential spokesman reported Sunday lunchtime.
The leaders of Ukraine, France, Germany and Russia have agreed to extend the deadline for implementation of the Minsk agreements into 2016. The agreement to extend the deadline without setting a new one was reached during a phone call on Wednesday between François Hollande, Angela Merkel and Vladimir Putin. Presidential press service of Ukraine said Poroshenko told the leaders of the escalation in the war in eastern Ukraine and stressed that Russia and Russian-backed militants must abide by the Minsk agreements.
The Ukrainian military has prevented an attack on the largest ammunitions depot in the Kharkiv region. Over the weekend, unknown assailants used drones to drop flammable substances in several places on the territory of the depot. Personnel on site managed to extinguish the fires. None of the ammunition storages were hit. The Ukrainian military says the vandalism was done as an act of intimidation. The saboteurs came from 3 different directions. Simultaneously, several explosive objects were set off. Military personnel on site said the fires had to be contained using special extinguishers. Officials suspect someone from the site's staff may have been involved in the planning of the operation. They also stress that no significant damage could have been done since the main weapons arsenal is kept underground. The incident is being investigated by a Defense Ministry special unit.
President Petro Poroshenko has signed a decree authorizing multinational military exercises in Ukraine next year. Under the plan, U.S. forces, along with other NATO members and states involved in the Partnership for Peace program, will be allowed to operate with appropriate weapons and equipment. The decree, published over the weekend, also permits Ukrainian soldiers to train abroad. A number of military exercises will be hosted by Ukraine next year, including Maple Arch 2016, which focuses on stabilization and peacekeeping missions, and Seabreeze 2016, centered on international maritime operations. In a statement, the presidential administration said, "The exercises will increase the efficiency of national programs for training the armed forces to carry out their tasks of national defense and implementation of Ukraine's international obligations, including the participation in international operations on maintaining international peace and security." The invasion of Russian forces into East Ukraine has prompted Ukraine and its NATO allies to bolster military cooperation across a broad range of areas, including in training, reforms, and the supply of non-lethal aid and military equipment.
Internally displaced children from Ukraine's eastern regions have received presents from volunteers in Kyiv. The kids enjoyed a colourful celebration organised with them in mind, with performances from Father Frost, a Russian version of Santa Claus, and volunteers dressed as cartoon characters welcoming the children of all ages at the biggest volunteer centre in Kyiv.
"It is the second year in a row when I want to cry because I am so happy. Many thanks. They, the volunteers, are very good and always help us a lot."
Thousands of Ukrainian families left Ukraine's eastern regions of Donetsk and Luhansk following Russia's invasion of Ukraine in early 2014. Many of the internally displaced ended up in Kyiv, often with nothing to their names but the clothes on their backs. This year is not the first time the people of Kyiv, touched by the plight of those who were forced to flee their homes, have organized celebrations for their families.
"We're always welcomed here. It is always very beautiful here. Nice, friendly. People, volunteers, work with their souls here. We want to thank them for everything, because we're here not for the first time. We have been here last year, and we liked it."
Volunteers distributed presents to children and parents who queued in lines dividing attendees into age groups, with different packages prepared for children of different age groups.
"Of course, we're happy that they take care of us, but we would like to return home, and we want everything to end. And children from Kyiv will come to these celebrations, not only internally displaced people, so that the same celebration will be held for Kyiv residents as well."
More than a million Ukrainians are internally displaced after leaving the country's eastern Donetsk and Luhansk regions. Russia's invasion of Ukraine in early 2014 caused the exodus and has since resulted in the deaths of more than 9,000 people.
More than 300 ethnic Turks flew to Turkey on Christmas Day from eastern Ukraine as part of a repatriation process launched by the Turkish government. Two military transport planes flew the repatriates, mostly Slavyansk residents, from Kharkiv to eastern Turkey, where they will be placed in temporary housing. "We have been hiding in a basement for days, for weeks. We were starving. We were worried. We had high blood pressure. Everything happened. But we lived. Thank you, Ukraine. Thank you." Larisa Bagalyova left her home in Slavyansk with two children and a husband to travel to Turkey. She said life under Kremlin-backed militants was unbearable. "There were shootouts and shellings. It affected the kids' psychological state. It affected everyone." Though Slavyansk was brought back under Ukrainian government control over a year ago, Bagalyova said she was still afraid the situation could change and decided to leave. "Everything was fine. Normal relations with neighbors. Everything was good. It's a pity to leave it all." Turkish authorities said they will provide all necessary formal clearance for employment and long-term stay of Turks repatriated from Ukraine. In order to resolve humanitarian problems quicker, these people addressed the Turkish government. Our government decided to help, not everyone, but those who lived in the area affected by military actions. And the appropriate decision was taken by the Cabinet of Ministers of the Turkish Republic. The Turkish government in April announced its decision to help ethnic Turks to return to Turkey. In the coming weeks, about 2,000 people will be repatriated. Police allowed several dozen thugs into a Kyiv courtroom during hearings on the pretrial confinement of Ukro party leader Gennady Korban. Supporters of the Dnipropetrovsk businessman and former deputy governor of Dnipropetrovsk region, including several parliament deputies, used fire extinguishers. Ukrainian law enforcement officials on Christmas Day rearrested Korban and took him to Kyiv. He was first detained on October 31st on suspicion of involvement in organized crime, embezzlement, and kidnapping. Korban denies all the charges and says he is being harassed for political reasons. A Kyiv district court had remanded Korban to house arrest on November 6th, pending the start of his trial. Former Dnipropetrovsk governor Igor Kolomoisky on December 28th condemned the proceedings against Korban in a written statement. Dmitry Yarosh has stepped down as the leader of Right Sector, the nationalist group that started off defending protesters from police violence during the Euromaidan revolution and morphed into a political party and paramilitary group. In a 3-minute, 15-second video clip posted to YouTube on December 27th, Yarosh said he plans to found a new political movement in February next year. Yarosh said his team would remain on the path of revolution, but would oppose pseudo-revolutionary activities that pose a threat to the existence of the Ukrainian state.
An exhibition dedicated to volunteer Chechen soldiers who've been fighting alongside Ukrainian troops in the East has been unveiled in Kyiv's World War II Museum. Personal belongings, flags, military gear, and national symbols belonging to the troops are among the pieces on display. For us, this is a common war. For us Chechens, this is a continuation of our own war. The enemy is the same, and they're using the same barbaric methods. Hundreds of Chechen fighters have joined the fighting in East Ukraine on both sides of the conflict. The two Chechen wars with Russia made many former fighters from the Caucasus region want to take up arms against Moscow once again. Meanwhile, hundreds of Chechen fighters loyal to Kremlin-appointed leader Ramzan Kadyrov are fighting on the side of Russian-backed militants.
Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk says he expects Ukraine to receive some $10 billion from international lenders in 2016. Speaking at his end-of-year conference in Kyiv, the Prime Minister said there is no doubt Ukraine will remain in the IMF program and there is no doubt the country will continue on the path of reforms. Despite Yatsenyuk's upbeat message, the numbers speak for themselves. Inflation in 2015 is at 47%. Customer prices have risen by more than 40%, while gross domestic production in the third quarter of the year decreased by 7% compared to the same period in 2014.
First, some high points of 2015 in Ukraine. Consumer goods throughout most of the country in abundance, but fewer people can afford them. Cars still clog the streets of the capital, Kyiv. More kids own mobile phones, even though they have less money to use them. Today in Ukraine, in fact, it is still possible to purchase almost anything, including power, political patronage, and university degrees, just like before the Revolution of Dignity. And herein lies some of the nation's intractable problems. But let's start with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Combined Russian separatist attacks on Ukrainian government troops in the east of the country abated, but only briefly. Millions of Ukrainians are arguably today better protected from Russian military aggression than they were a year ago. But it didn't look like it would start out that way in the beginning of the year. Violence continued in eastern Ukraine at the start of the year, and at least 7 civilians were killed and a dozen injured in an attack at a bus stop in the militant-held city of Donetsk on January 22nd, while a day later in Mariupol, while a car dashboard camera showed shells exploding in a residential area. Mariupol city administration said Russian-backed fighters had killed at least 30 people and injured 83 others by firing rockets from long-range Grad missile systems. Russian-backed militants denied responsibility for the attack. The leaders of Russia, Ukraine, France and Germany prepared to meet in Minsk on February 11th to try to hammer out a peace plan to end the 10-month conflict, which had already killed over 7,000 people. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, Russia's Vladimir Putin, Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President François Hollande on February 15th agreed on a peace deal in Minsk. The deal included a ceasefire that would come into effect on February 15th, followed by the withdrawal of heavy weapons. But both sides were accused of breaking the ceasefire in the following days, and the Russian invasion of Debaltseve in the Donetsk region, followed by destruction of Donetsk airport, was a stark reminder of the havoc Russia had already caused. Kremlin leaders throughout 2015 implausibly denied sending its forces and weapons to East Ukraine, despite what the West says is irrefutable proof. NATO held its biggest drills for decades, with alliance members sending troops and heavy armor to bolster the eastern flank approaching the Russian border, where Moscow has positioned over 100,000 battle-ready troops. In response, NATO announced it would boost its so-called rapid reaction force to around 40,000 over the coming years. But Baltic and Eastern European countries said the force should be permanently based in the region in order to provide a real and present deterrent against Russian aggression. As thousands of refugees attempted to move from Greece to Macedonia over the summer, police lobbed stun grenades and beat them with batons, struggling to enforce a decree to stem their flow through the Balkans to Western Europe. Security forces managed to contain hundreds in no man's land, but several thousand others, many of them Syrian refugees, tore through wire fences in muddy fields to Macedonian territory after days spent in the open without access to shelter, food or water. The remains of 71 dead migrants, including four children in late August, were found in an abandoned truck in Austria. Russia in September launched airstrikes in Syria in its biggest Middle East intervention in decades, plunging the four-year-old civil war into a volatile new phase as President Vladimir Putin moved forcefully to stake out influence in the unstable region. Russian airstrikes mainly hit areas held by rival insurgent groups rather than Islamic fighters it said it was targeting, and drawing an increasingly angry response from the West. Reasonable minds may differ, but for Ukraine, the year ended on a high note. Well, sort of. Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk said on December 29th that he expects Ukraine to receive some $10 billion from international lenders in 2016. The Prime Minister said there is no doubt Ukraine will remain in the IMF program, and no doubt the country will continue on the path of reforms. Despite Yatsenyuk's upbeat message, however, the numbers speak for themselves. Inflation in 2015 is at 47%. Consumer prices have risen more than 40%, while gross domestic production in the third quarter of this year decreased by 7% compared to the same period in 2014. But one ray of hope amid all the dark news was the European Commission's decision to approve Ukraine's visa-free regime with the European Union. The decision still needs to be ratified by the European Parliament, but it looks like from mid-2016, Ukrainians will finally have freedom of movement across the continent.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Ukraine International Airlines North America extends best wishes to the listeners of Nash Holos and the Ukrainian community in BC for a joyous Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year. Ukraine International Airlines is Ukraine's leading international airline. From its base in Borispil Airport in Kyiv, along with its international partners, UIA connects Ukraine to more than 3,000 destinations worldwide and domestically. find them online at flyuia.com. Христос рождається, веселих свят і щасливого нового року.
Group from Ukraine called Minstrali, which translates as minstrels, and a song all about caroling. That's all that the title is, Kolyada Kolyadka, caroling, caroling. And coming up next is the Todestrick sisters from Winnipeg, Manitoba, and from their Christmas album, The Spirit of Ukrainian Christmas, this is a song called Oisevayato Izozulenka, which is a song about a gray cuckoo bird, and this is another symbolic creature in Ukrainian Christmas and New Year's tradition, and this is a New Year's carol.
Одному та й не бувало,
ще треба.
For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world here on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page and do check out our blog. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Як хочеш мати науку, то вивчай спершу азбуку. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you want knowledge, first learn the alphabet. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, we have the Volen Song and Dance Company from Ukraine and another well-wishing song, Щедрий вечір. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.